I'd invite you to take your sheets that we have been studying for the last series, part three of our message, Establishing Financial Stability in Unstable Times. We have seen thus far six principles out of the 12. We've seen, number one, the need to transfer ownership of all that we have back to God. Number two, humbly adjust your lifestyle to live below your means. Thirdly, avoid growing indebtedness and the practice of surety. Number four, navigate away from financial temptations. Number five, know your financial status as well as your goals. Number six, share with people in need. Now we've arrived at number seven, and I would invite you to take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. We're going to see the principle number 7, give to God first as your highest financial priority. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 5. It ought not to surprise us that our study on stewardship begins with the concept of trusting in the Lord. I remember when Melody and I first began the principles of tithing, it was a great step of faith. Because when you put the pencil to it, and this was when we were struggling through seminary in early years, it just did not make sense how we could tithe and be able to make it. But you know, I found out, and we found out very early in life, that God is able to providentially provide. And there were times when we received bags of groceries at the door that lowered our grocery bill. There were times when someone would give us a gift or something of that nature that we were not anticipating. We were healthier. The kids didn't get sick as much. God providentially honors when we put Him first. And that's why our treatise of giving to God begins with the principle of trusting in Him. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, no reservation. Lean not unto your own understanding. In other words, when you put the pencil to it and it doesn't make sense to tithe, that's leaning on your own understanding. But when you trust God and step out in faith, you're going to see when you step out of your comfort zone that God will begin to providentially bless. Notice it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him as the powerful one, as the potentate in your life, as your Savior, as your provider. Where did we get the idea that our employer was our provider, or that somehow we were to be in charge of our lives? It says, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him as the one who cares for you. He provided for your salvation, didn't He? What does Philippians 1:6 say? He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Don't lean unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. He shall make straight thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. Then in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think that you know more than God does. Fear the Lord, depart from evil, and then notice, it'll be health to your navel, marrow to your bones. God is able to give you health. Then it talks about honoring God with our substance. You see, it's all tied in with verses 5 and 6 of trusting the Lord. Does faith end in the Christian life after we get saved? Or does faith continue in the element of stewardship and obedience and following God daily? The just shall live by what? By faith, you see. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all of thine increase. The concept of giving God from the top. Some people say, well, do I tithe from the gross or from the net? Well, what about the first fruit concept? Who is actually in control of our lives? Should we give Uncle Sam priority over God? Then, actually, we should give the first fruit of our substance unto the Lord. And it says here, the first fruit of all of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, thy presses shall burst with new wine. So God needs to be given first as our highest financial priority. Matthew 6:33 put it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all of these temporal needs shall be added unto you. Number 8, if you'll take your Bibles to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. We need to, number 8, invest for eternity. Let's keep our eyes on the big picture. Invest for eternity. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says this, charge them, in other words, exhort them, that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. We've recently heard some news on individuals that have been brought very low, and the accommodations at the Orange County prison aren't quite equal to Islesworth. I guess it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out. But you know, the point is, what our country is going through today is God's way of demonstrating to our entire world, actually, not only the fact that we have abandoned God, but we also see prophetically what the Lord is setting up in prophetic scriptures. But it says, don't be high-minded. Don't trust in what? Uncertain riches. What should we put our eyes upon? In the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. How many people are looking to be rich in good works today? How many people are looking at their net worth and the stock market and seeing what's going on, and there's no desire to be rich in good works? That is what's going to endure for eternity. It's going to transcend culture and time. Rich in good works. Notice, ready to distribute, ready to give to others, willing to communicate. That's speaking about giving to others, you see. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on to eternal life. Invest for eternity. And you know, when we give to God's program, the local church, and when we give to missions, and when we invest in things that are going to endure, that is the greatest eternal rate of returns. And that is definitely what we want to look for. Number 9, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. View every need and desire as an opportunity to trust God. View every need and desire as an opportunity to trust God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11 reminds us, in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Notice, daily. we live our lives day by day. Worry is waiting upon grace that God has yet to provide. He only gives us grace for the day-to-day needs that we have before us. And of course, verse 25 through verse 34 gives us the principle. Verse 25, take no thought, don't be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your bodies, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, the body more than raiment? It gives the example of nature, of the fowl of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet the Lord feeds them. How much more are we better than they, being the objects of God's redemption? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you take thought for clothing, for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. The Lord provides, you see. The Word of God says that the lilies of the field, it says even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I was just pulling some weeds out of my hedges, and I just was pulling them out, and I looked at my hand, and I saw such a beautiful, intricate, ornate, little teeny tiny flowers. And I looked at them and I said, you know, these are weeds, but look how beautiful they truly are. Now, I wasn't going to take them into Melody or anything to give them, but they were beautiful. They were weeds, and yet how beautiful they were arrayed and how intricate the Lord's handiwork was in everything that He provides here. And it says here, verse 31, don't take thought, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know, let the stomach ulcers be given to the Gentiles, verse 32. That's what they're worrying about. But you know, they don't have a Heavenly Father that feeds them and cares for them, such as we have. Don't be anxious, take no thought. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, verse 33. And all these things shall be added unto you. C.S. Lewis made the statement, aim at heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. So that's a good thought. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Number 10, invest time in your decision to manage your finances. Invest time in your decision to manage your finances. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. Proverbs 24, verse 3. The scriptures read Proverbs 24, 3. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. We need wisdom. We need to invest time in our decision to manage our finances. Number 11, never be financially dishonest. Never be financially dishonest. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. In other words, the revenues that are gained by wickedness, they profit nothing. Righteousness delivers from death. Chapter 13 and verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. Chapter 20 and verse 17. The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. And then, of course, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, we have the principle in the New Testament, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to him that needeth. Then Joshua chapter 1, and verse 8 will conclude our study. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Gain biblical understanding. Gain biblical understanding. We need to know what real success is. Success is defined as knowing and obeying God's Word. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and that thou shalt have good success." This is the one place where the word success is found. Now I have a homework assignment, or I have an assignment for you to do right now. I want you to take the first letter of every sentence and circle it in your paper. Will you do that? Take the first letter in every sentence and work your way down. Okay? Circle the first letter of every sentence and tell me what you come up with.
Thanksgiving.
That's right. You know why? Because in handling finances properly, we'll fulfill the principle of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. May everything about our stewardship demonstrate thanksgiving to God, placing Him first. Let's not be penurious with God, but let's be, as we say, hilarious in our giving, because we love the Lord and we know no man can outgive God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before you now and ask your blessing upon each one that has heard this message this evening. And Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. Even though we may live in unstable times, Lord, our lives can be built upon the rock Christ Jesus. And Lord, that you are our provider and you will meet our needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now bless us as we prepare to go to prayer and lift up these needs that we have before you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.